Berliner Zinne, featuring Mehlhose, der internationale Kiez Talk.
Welcome to one of our Berliner Zinne featuring Mehlhose podcasts, the podcast in which we interview entrepreneurs in our hood, Charlottenburg. You might have wondered why you didn't hear from us lately, but life in the hood has changed. Olaf, what happened? Could you brief us a bit?
Okay, to make a long story short, I just took my family and moved out of the wonderful Kiez in Berlin-Charlottenburg. It still hurts, but it doesn't hurt that much because I landed in Spain. So now I'm a Spaniard officially, and yeah, I'm living here now. So a lot of organization, a lot of things happened. We are not living door to door anymore. So that's probably why we couldn't record a podcast for almost a year. But now we are back.
Yes. And I mean, our name is Berliner Zinne featuring Mehlhose, the international Kiez Talk. Now we just do it the other way around. You went international.
Exactly.
But we still interview our international community here in Charlottenburg. But yes, but now let's get back to the real talk. Today, here with us, we have Julia. Julia Lange is a true Kiezpreneur, or in English, a well-known fempreneur in our hood, Charlottenburg. Every day when I walk with my son to school, I come along her shop or her manufacturing site in Windscheidstraße. However, Julia is the best person to explain who she is, what she does, and what Teeny Tiny is all about. Julia, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thanks for the invite, and it's nice being with you guys. Well, how to explain? I have a manufacturing place and also a shop. So we produce and we sell directly in the Windscheidstraße to the world. We have international clients. And yeah, so we produce organic soft toys. We produce the fabric. We have a knitting machine. We have sewing machines. And from A to Z, we produce everything here in-house, and that's pretty much it. So, Yeah, there are creatures, there are characters, they have different kind of names. They're kind of authentic animals, but they're also creatures you don't really know what they are, or they're a bit uneven. They have different length of arms and legs, and sometimes they don't look straight into your eyes. They have kind of a weird set of eyes, and yeah, so they're really alive. But the most important thing is they have a soul, and they can talk to you, and yeah, that's it really. Ask me questions. I think I don't know what else to say.
I mean, seems like you're creating and living in a very diverse community.
Exactly.
In your shop, which very much fits to Berlin as the diversity hub in Germany. But my understanding is you haven't been to Berlin from day one of your life.
If you That's true.
Could elaborate a bit on your journey and what
yeah,
you made
it's a long
end up
journey,
being in Berlin.
So I don't want to bore you, but yeah. Well, I launched in London. That's why we have this Teeny Tiny name, and not everybody in Berlin understands. A lot of people say, oh, you're doing something with teenagers. It's like, not really. So Teeny Tiny just means small in a double version. And some people know, some people don't. And it also happened because I was living in London and launched Teeny Tiny in 2007. So Somehow it became the name of my company, Teeny Tiny. And yeah, so I did live in London for a long, long time. And then I moved to Berlin. Originally, I'm from the north near Hamburg. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm not a Berlin girl, but I became a Berliner because I've been doing this for 12 years, nearly 12 years in this location. So yeah, that's it.
And when I bring my son to school, first I pass your shop and then I go down the road and there's like a local cinema. It's called Click Kino. And in the Click Kino, I also saw your toys or your plush toys.
Correct.
Could you talk a bit about who are your customers? who do you sell or give your plush toys to?
Yeah, that's another beautiful thing, because it's for everyone, really. It's for babies, it's for newborns. But my oldest client, she's from around the corner. She's, I think, 85. She bought a snake, for example, and she walked out of the shop with a snake around her neck, and it was her new kind of scarf. But of course, we had the Corona time, and it was the owner of this Click Kino. He turned up in my shop and he said, "Look, I've been looking for kind of soft toys for a long time, but I didn't like any of them. And then I suddenly found you, and you were next door, basically. And I was wondering if you kind of, because we have to separate the cinema viewers because of the Corona law, and I thought maybe we can put some animals in between them, and they don't feel so lonely because they have to sit separate from each other, and they have a companion." I was like, "Yeah, of course." So we kind of developed this beautiful idea, and I schlepped a lot of soft toys over to his cinema, and we installed them on the cinema seats. And until now, actually, we have people coming to my shop and say, "Look, I found you in this cinema," and we were so touched to tears, basically, because we had someone sitting next to you, and it's such a beautiful idea. So you can see I'm still crying, and that's what happened.
I have one question about your creatures. You said it very beautifully, that they have a soul. What do you mean with that?
Yeah, it basically means we create them from A to Z, and we put our love in the making process, right? The whole development is made with love, and you don't have a choice but to also create a soul. It's like this Pinocchio effect, right? You produce a Pinocchio, and Pinocchio becomes alive at the end of the process. And that's what happened here every day. They are alive because they're full of love.
And maybe if Olaf, if okay, I would like to add to your question the real story also why I went into Julia's shop. Of course, Olaf, since you moved away with the family, we felt very much alone here in the Berliner Zinner. And then it was my wife dragging in a dog. Now we have a dog. It's a Welsh Springer Spaniel. We call her Mila, Inger Rose, the queen. And I thought at the beginning I didn't want to have this dog. Of course, you know, flat and big city and stuff. But now, of course, as everyone imagined, I fell in love. And if you fall in love with someone, of course, you want to have this person to share with other people. And I thought, why not make a plush Mila out of that? And I remembered Julia and the shop and these wonderful creatures. And I fully agree with you, Julia. I think, and that's what I loved about these animals or whatever you produce, they don't look like standard industrial produced. Everyone looks different with the eye going in one or the other direction. And I thought, let's go to Julia and ask whether she could build the Mila for everyone. This is what we did. Maybe, and what I would be interested in, Julia, is, how do you approach creating a new community member?
Right. There are several ways, because we produce the fabric. So because we have this knitting machine, and even the fabric is not on a regular pattern, although you have punch cards and it should be a very straight way of producing. It's not, because the thread on itself is very thin and we use a lot of threads, like 6 to 8 per fabric. It kind of changes the pattern and it becomes lively itself. So sometimes I start with the pattern and the fabric, and I say, okay, this is a beautiful pattern. What could I build with it if it should be a part of my collection? If I have a client like you, then I start with a sketch, right? I've got a picture, like an image from you or a client, and I know, okay, this is what I have to do, produce. I do a sketch, and then I do a first prototype. So because you don't always get the right size, the client wants. So you have to slowly approach. Usually you start with a bigger one. It's easier to sew and to make. And then you slowly adjust. You kind of enlarge it or make it kind of smaller until you reach the final size. And then you kind of get a feeling. Is it the right feeling you want to create? And sometimes it's very easy. Sometimes it takes days or weeks to get there. So it's really a process of an artist, right? It's because I'm an artist. That's how you work. Sometimes it's not a painting. So I'm kind of losing myself in the process. But it's a complex process in the whole kind of creating something. So yeah, I don't know. Ask me questions if it's very unclear. So, dog is barking. I've got a
all
dog
good.
As well.
No, I'm just interested in the creative process because I'm also working in a creative agency. But you are the only creator or you have several creators?
No. It's only the animals and me. So
perfect.
I've got a technical person. She's producing. She's making she's sewing the orders for me. I'm kind of the only creator. Yeah. I couldn't handle a second one. It wouldn't work. It's just
can't imagine.
Me, the narcissistic artist. No, I'm not. But yeah, so it's enough. Just one is enough.
But Olaf,
sorry.
Please go.
No, you still have time to do something, for example, totally crazy. I mean, to have one business, it's, I think, very demanding as well. The other is the business side. So do you have time to really think about something new, something you have never done before? Or is it more you get input from your clients and then you try to figure that out?
Yeah, I think it's more like because I do have a side business as well, which is similar but also completely different from what you see in the shop. But I usually get ideas from my clients. That's completely correct. So I get an impulse from someone saying, why don't you do this? Do you have this in your collection? I'm thinking, do I have time? Then I work on the idea or I write it down for a bit later, but it's completely an impulse from the outside, definitely.
And Julia, you just mentioned to Olaf, you have one technical support. On the other hand, when we talk, and we are like, we've been in the brainstorming session for the Mila, which you produced or created, you always talk about we. So it sounds like a huge company.
No, it's an absolute important question because I always, even if I speak with clients or I try to chase some orders with new people, I always talk about we and people are wondering who is we. And
yes,
it is very important for me to say we because it's the animals really, right? It's the characters. They're my family and they're always here and they support me. Sounds a bit weird, right? But if I'm a bit stuck and I think about something, sometimes I talk to the monkey or I talk to the elephant. It's like, do you have an idea? And they do have, usually they have some kind of creative input. So it is the part of the family, yeah.
And we just heard one of your real animals barking.
Yeah, that's Liebe.
Who's that?
My dog. Yeah, exactly.
Liebe, your dog. Olaf, you wanted to ask something.
Yeah, interrupt. I'm not sure. I have. No, you didn't interrupt me. I just wanted to ask. I mean, you found your niche and you produce your own creatures, your own characters. And I think on the one hand, it's very rewarding because, I mean, you do what you really, I think it's kind of a dream job. On the other hand, do you sometimes miss living in a or having a paid job where you just go and then afterwards you go home and leave it all at your workplace or you say, no, that's a life I choose. I'm totally happy with it.
Well, I usually don't work thinking, right? For me, my whole life is about feeling. So I'm trying to get out of this how you grew up about calculating, thinking, and things should be what you think it should be like. So for me, I couldn't work or I couldn't have created this company thinking or writing a business plan. So the whole thing started about I just felt I have to do this. If you had told me like 18 years ago, this is the way you have to go and this is how hard you have to work. Of course, I said, no, I would have become a teacher or something, right? A good kindergarten person. But yeah, this is my way. And I just follow my intention, my gut feeling. And I try not to think too much.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And in our pre-discussion, you mentioned, and I think I would like to have it on tape. You said that there's the nice quote, stop thinking and start feeling.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you just described.
Exactly.
Yes. Going a bit back to the hardcore business stuff, of course, Olaf is more about the emotional, social interaction, and I'm more also focusing on the business stuff.
Right.
You mentioned at the beginning, so we talked about your local involvement. So ClickKino is one of your customers, and you are selling to individuals like this granny, or you're selling to bigger corporations in mass. What about international? So are you are you a German thing?
No. Because I did start in London. I was pretty much very early. I started doing trade shows. So there was one in London, started doing kids trade shows called Playtime. And then they launched also in Paris. Then I moved to Paris exhibiting there. And of course, it was Paris is right, the fashion capital. And of course, international people turn up. So I don't have to do much, or I didn't have to do much. They just was standing in front of my stand and placing orders. So actually, from the beginning on, I had international clients from Japan, from New York, from everywhere, really. And then I moved on to a bigger trade show called Maison et Objet. And that was more like an interior show, because I decided I move on from the kids. I don't want to be a baby or kids label anymore, because it's more an art kind of piece, or like an interior piece. And then I was exhibiting in this trade show. And then it moved on into more beautiful shops like Norm in Copenhagen or Louisiana in Copenhagen. And then, so that's what happened.
I have one short question. It's also about business, but maybe also emotional, to keep my side of the talk. You talked a lot about your creators, but if I don't know them yet, how would you pitch them to me? What is great about them? I think it's always good to give some entrepreneurs some room. So maybe you can say, why is it so rewarding to order one?
Yeah, because first of all, it's not for kids. So it wouldn't be for your kids only. It would be for yourself, right? So it doesn't matter how old you are. It's for the inner child. It's for the grown-up person. It's for the lonely female traveler who needs a companion in the hotel room or during the flight to New York or wherever. And so that's the first part. And secondly, it's not this dumb made in China plastic toy. It's this organic. It's not the perfect shape, right? It's a organic shape, because look at your own body. It's one leg is longer than the other, right? And same for your face. You're not symmetric. So, and that's what is also the idea behind this design. It doesn't need to be perfect, because we are not perfect.
Maybe just on your Olaf, thanks for asking a bit how the animals or the creatures look like. Also, if I was a foreign customer falling in love with your story and the creatures, I would also be interested in how does this whole end-to-end production work? What's done in your shop, and what have you outsourced, or how can one imagine the journey of the creature?
So we don't outsource anything. We produce everything in-house. So the sketch is done here. Then we create the fabric. Then we create the prototype. Then, of course, we have to create the pattern as well, right? So we construct patterns, and then we produce the first prototype in-house. And even the stuffing is here stuck in the room. So we have big kind of, I don't know, sheep wool, organic sheep wool kind of. You can look at it when you come into the shop, and everything is done here.
Cool. And talking about collaboration, which is also a big topic for us at the Berliner Zinner featuring Mehlhose, because we love to engage with other people and other stakeholders. You know, fun fact is the Berliner Zinner was painted by Marita Eli, I think 4 or 5 years ago. And you know her, right?
Yes,
you know her from an arty environment.
yeah, absolutely.
And have you done anything, like have you done stuff together, or is there room for extended collaboration?
I haven't done anything with her, but because she's a painter and I see myself as a painter in a different way. I paint with yarns, right? So the fabric, I keep saying I'm painting with my knitting machine. So maybe that's why we got on so well, and she loves the products as well. But we haven't done a collaboration as in yet. So who knows? But yeah.
Maybe. Yes. And I had another question. Yeah. As we are also this entrepreneurship, so we want to showcase entrepreneurs, international entrepreneurs who make it in Berlin or in Germany, which sometimes is a pretty red-taped economy. A question to you, Julia. You are in the creative business and you are in a real business, so you need to earn money to make your living and to realize your dream. Do you have recommendations to younger people who want to live their dream but still need to make money to survive?
Absolutely.
What would you tell them?
Again, first rule of the whole book I would like to write one day is listen to your heart, right? Listen to what your heart is guiding you. You should be doing. And the heart has got the answer, not your head. So if you listen closely to your heart, you find the right path to follow. It's not an easy way, because you never learn this in this society, in this school system. You don't listen to your heart. You just have to think and you have to calculate. But if you really listen to it, you find the answer, number one. Number two, if you are an artist, you have to also be a business person these days. You can't just be a painter and think you're going to be discovered at some point. So I think it's tricky, because not many artists also have this business part inside you. And maybe I'm lucky because I've got both, right? But not everybody's got it. So in a way, or you need to have a second person, and you have to divide it into an artist and a business person. If you're not having the, I don't know, I wouldn't say talent or the gift or whatever, but you need both to become successful.
Okay. Olaf?
Yeah, very nice. I want to come back to listen to your heart, and I want to look at another topic, because I think when I think about my kids in Berlin, that was also a place which I had very much in my heart. And I want to ask, you live in the same neighborhood, is it the same for you?
I never liked Berlin at the beginning, so it took me 10 years to finally say, okay, Berlin, it's okay, let's make peace. And I still miss London. I did live in France for a while, so I miss the south of France, of course, because that's a beautiful place to be, and you get nice food, which you don't necessarily get in Berlin. People in England and in France are nicer, right? They greet each other on the street, although you don't know each other. And I like that. In Berlin, it took me a long time maybe it's also me being German, coming back after 10 or 11 years being abroad. It's a tricky one. So I think that took me also a long time. But Berlin, I don't know. It took a long time until I kind of said, okay, we like each other.
That's good. Sounds good.
But you're not living above your shop. You live somewhere.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
I loved.
Yeah. I think I always thought of living above my shop, but it didn't happen. So, but I'm not living super far away. So I can walk. That takes 8 minutes to walk, which is great. And you still have a separation. You have a kind of, cooling down, calming down, walking way, which is also nice. Yeah.
And could you imagine, I mean, now that you fell in love over time with Charlottenburg, great. Welcome to the club. Could you actually imagine living somewhere else in Berlin?
Yeah, of course I could.
Yeah.
I would love to live in Grunewald, to have a beautiful villa in Grunewald next to the area where I could walk my dog. So I don't have to take the bus every morning at 6 a.m. and I just kind of get out of my house and I'm in the middle of this beautiful forest. That would be nice. Do you have a house for me in Grunewald? I would accept it.
Yeah, I think we should ask some politicians. They might have a house. No. Just kidding. But Grunewald isn't part of it, Charlottenburg anyway. So yeah, so all good.
Not really. I don't actually know the area, what it's called.
Right. But I think, and that's what you mentioned in the pre-chat we had, Kiez or the hood, whether it's where you live or where you work, it feels like family.
And yeah, it does, right? It does. Especially if you've been for a long time and in your Kiez, you get to know your neighbors' shops, your neighbors, you become friends and you take care of each other, right? You say hello and you talk about life or how you are and yeah, and you do meet privately as well. You go for drinks, for dinner, and that's nice. And if you don't have a family anymore, it's good to have your kids' family. And I've got my Grunewald family, my dog family. So I've got different kinds of family in Charlottenburg.
I think that's actually a very great thing. I mean, people thinking about living in a big city like Berlin or New York or London or whatever, or Paris, it's very anonymous.
It
seems you have created your families, be mm-hmm. it in your shop with your community, or in Grunewald with your dog and the dog family. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's
you
cool.
made it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's true. I even have my shop family, that's true, yeah. And that is the world, right? That's the international family, so that's beautiful.
Cool. I mean, Julia, we have 30 minutes is close to come. This is the format we have. I'm really glad we eventually made it to be in a podcast together, in the Kiez podcast. We could actually grab Olaf to be part of it, even though he left the hood. Yeah, but he's always connected. We know that. Olaf, would you have one last question to Julia?
I mean, she already hinted at it. Before, she talked about her international family, and since that's a big topic of our podcast as well, and we discussed about it in our pre-talk, so I just would like to tell us again, because I think it was very nice, what being international means for you.
Especially because I've been living abroad for such a long time, I don't feel like I'm a German, right? For me, being, if you say you're German or you're Spanish or you're Japanese, it's sweet. It's very sweet. But for me, it's too small. You have to think bigger, right? Because we are just human beings and it doesn't really matter what kind of nationality you are. It's really boring for me. And also what kind of religion or whatever. So we are human beings, right? And we live on one planet and that's how it should be. So there are no borders. There's just us trying to make a living, peaceful living together, right? And make most of it. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
Cool. I think that's a very nice, these are very nice last words. Let's make a living together in an international community. Also goes in line with the global mindset we want to establish. Julia, thank you very much for your time. Being with us, even though your community, your dog, was right beside you and wanted to contribute to the podcast. I'm very happy. And we see each other in the shop. Also, there's a lot of plans going on with Mila. So let's see what we can make out of that.
Thank you for your time and thanks for inviting me.
Thank you very much. See you soon. Ciao.
See you soon.
Thanks, Olaf.
Ciao. Bye. Bye, Olaf.
Bye.
Stop.